Whoa, this sounds a little mellow, but it's still talking about revolution, which is what we need. We need to throw off the chains of hyper-taxation, overspending, enormous debt. I was just looking. The state of Connecticut has per capita debt of $10,000 a year, rounding up slightly. $10,000 a year. The national average is $3,600. Connecticut comes in number two in the nation. Number two per capita debt. That is how much we would have to get from each person in the state, each human walking around in Connecticut, to pay off what the plunderers have done to destroy the state. It's Mikey Monday. Let's say hi to Mike Olko, my producer. He joins in for an hour at the beginning of each week. Because why not? Let's get the young person's viewpoint. That's what the young people say.
Okay.
And since I have a young person who's smart here, why not let people hear your voice, Mike?
Hello, young people.
No, old people. Say hello, old people.
Hello, old people.
There you go. That just has a nice ring to it.
Can they hear me?
I don't know. Can they hear you?
You got your hearing aids in?
Oh, well, you know, I think people can hear you. They can turn up the radio. That's one of the good things, I think.
Sometimes that doesn't even work, though.
What do you think about that? 10 grand per person is
I didn't even hear you, so don't ask me about that.
10 grand per person is the debt, the bonding debt in the state of Connecticut.
Seems low.
Second in the nation. Yeah, I'm surprised it's so low. It must be narrowed down somehow.
Ned must have been, he's been doing such a good job that.
Yeah, the debt diet.
Yeah, it's gone down to 10,000.
Well, it's still number two highest in the nation, so.
Well, you know, we got room to grow.
All right, what's your favorite story of the ones that you want to talk about? Throw one out there.
Let's talk about the transgendered athletes.
What about them? Are you a hater?
I'm a hater, yeah. I'm a hater.
What is your feeling about this?
I mean, I'm very sensitive to transgenderism and just, you know, people struggling with identity, and especially younger people. You know, it's puberty is a weird time for everybody, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of strange feelings and hormones going on and such. But just this whole thing with the transitioning from, like, really this story is about boys changing to girls, male to female, transitioning, and then after they've transitioned, participating in women's athletics.
Right.
And
the rules that guide that competition.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just, I don't know. If you've been paying attention, it's been a pretty big story, and especially in Connecticut. You know, there's a lawsuit that's been filed somewhat recently. Three high school track athletes complaining about how they're basically losing
status and opportunity.
Yeah, and just the competition is being corrupted, I guess.
Like, yeah, that's their claim, and I think it's hard to dispute that they're being forced to compete against people who are not biologically the same.
Yeah.
And so that's really what the story about. It's really not a story about the struggle of transgenders. It's a story about the desire to politicize transgenderism by doing irrational policy regarding it.
I mean, it comes from this place where you're not allowed, like, everyone has to be, you know, perfect however they are. Or, you know, if it's like, well, I was born a male, but I want to be a female. And then, you know, you go through this whole transition thing, and then nobody can acknowledge that you weren't born a female anymore. They're a female now. It doesn't matter, you know, they were born a male and now they're a female. Like, you have to accept that they're 100% born and bred female.
There is no difference, in other words, between a transgender female a week after she decides to declare herself a female and somebody who was born that way.
Apparently. I mean, which is just kind of ridiculous to me. I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of tough when you're talking about children and stuff. I don't think kids should have the right to make those kinds of decisions on their own, like without parental consent. But even parental consent, like it's kind of strange to me to if you have a child going through that. I mean, obviously, it's a terrible situation to be in, but when you're young like that, I just don't know if you have the proper decision-making skills. And you're just so young, and things can change. In 10 years, you might not feel the same way, and then you've altered your body in such a way that you'll never really recover.
But why are you mentioning this? I mean, this isn't part of the story, is it?
I guess not. I don't know. That's just what I was interested in. I don't know. Why are you questioning me?
Oh, I was just trying to track the story. I thought you wanted to talk about the fight that was going on.
I mean, that's part of it. I mean, I'm interested in all of it.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm just asking. So the decision, I mean, we don't know what they go through in terms of making the decision. That's part of the unknowns in this, because that's inside the family and they make those decisions themselves.
You hope so, yeah. But maybe this is why it's coming up, because I just read an article about some guy in Canada who, they had a court ordered thing where the child was able to start the transitioning without parental consent, and I don't think that can happen here yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that people are fighting for
whatever
reason.
How old was the child?
14.
Yeah, I don't think there would be any problem here with the court. Because courts use as the standard, as I understand it, in family court, the fight is always judged around what's best for the child. So if a judge were to say that the parents were bigots or somehow being hateful in their assessment of what was going on,
right,
then they could make a ruling in favor of the child, I would guess, but I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know. It's seems kind of scary to me, because where does that end? It's just another thing where, you know, I know a lot of people on the more conservative side of the spectrum feel wary about giving up parental control. I mean, which to me is of course, why would you? You're the parents. You want to make the decisions for your child. That seems only logical. It seems only fair. But
yeah, and I think the flip side is that the left likes to devalue parents.
And to
move these decisions into a public domain, to weaken the connection between parents and their own children. So that's part of what the fight is about, no doubt.
Yeah, that's more the broad topic of transitioning and transgenderism and stuff. But sorry, there's a little sidetrack. But
no, nothing to apologize for.
Yeah, the main story in Connecticut, at least, is the athletics aspect of it, which you know, it's unfortunate. I feel bad for the girls that are losing out on potential scholarships, potential recognition, just because they're physically, you know, not on an equal playing field.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. You know, how is it possible for... Because this is science denial. The left likes to accuse the right of being science deniers on global warming, but this is science denial on the idea of human biology. And why would they be doing that?
'Cause it helps them. It fits the narrative, right?
It suits them.
Yeah,
yes.
That's all.
But it doesn't make sense. It's
Have to make sense.
Well, so they're deniers, science deniers.
And hater. You're
being
a bigot. Hate.
Well, they're the haters. They hate science.
We're all haters, I guess.
Yes, we all
one
can
big
be if,
hate soup.
We all can be if that's the standard. If it's that easy kind, all you have to do is declare somebody else to be wrong in their perspective, then sure, why not? Why isn't everybody a hater?
I don't know.
That's how I look at it. So, anything else you want to say about that topic? I guess the main thing we should say about that topic is that it's back in the hands of courts. And it's unfortunate for this kind of situation to have to be in court. And it's in court because zealots on the left, I think, have pushed it there. I don't know how that can be avoided, but it's unfortunate that it is.
Would it be offensive to just have like a transgendered division of athletics? Like, am I being a hater by even suggesting that? Like,
perhaps.
Because that would, I mean, to me, that would solve a lot of things. I mean, if you want to be an athlete and just have a transgender division or something, I don't know. If there's enough people.
Well, what you're suggesting is to me where the solution comes down. There is a desire to force equality onto everybody. And my answer would be that, yeah, sometimes if you've got a cross to bear if you are one of those people who feels that you are living in the wrong body. And the idea that the rest of society is responsible for making you whole. That is, there will be no suffering and no norms can be kept for the larger 99.whatever% of the population. If you are somebody who suffers this ailment, it seems to me that when you're the one suffering the ailment, not everything can be done for you.
Yeah, well, isn't that just the typical socialist mentality where it's like if everybody can't have everything, then everyone can have nothing, kind of. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but just like the leveling out of everything, so everybody is in this just wasteland of mediocrity. You know what I'm saying?
That. No, that's good language. The wasteland of mediocrity. That could be your second album.
What's the first?
Olko.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Self-titled.
Yes.
Okay.
Olko 1. And the second one can be that one I forgot.
You already forgot. All right.
I'm in the middle of doing something else. Sorry. 860-522-9842. We're late for a break. It's Mikey Monday. We'll continue the conversation on WTIC. WTIC producer Mike is here for Mikey Monday. I'm dying to talk to David in California, Mike. Let's find out what he has to say.
Sure.
Hi, David.
Yo, how are you, Todd? Taxation with representation was how America was brought together. Mm-hmm. You know, that all the little people were chipping in their taxes, and I don't think they used April 15th back in 1776, but the concept was still that there was this pot of money, and that we, the people, got to see that we got something out of it, right? So when the issue of transgender people and sexual rights comes up, they're taxpayers, too, and they deserve equal justice under the law. Equal
right.
usage.
But this
of
is a discussion.
Property.
This is a discussion about unequal justice. This is being given unfair treatment.
Say.
Well, but I'm giving you a clear hypothesis of why what I'm saying is valid. That is, their schools have boys' sports and girls' sports, and you can't claim rationally that somebody is a girl because they've decided to declare themselves as such, even if it's totally sincere, how is that a fair way of dealing with things?
Yeah, let me lay something out. A book came out just before the turn of the century. It was called Our Stolen Future, and it talked about how pollution was actually damaging the sex organs of kids, and that it was getting up to a high percentage. And if I remember right, the high percentage back then, about 1998, was about 22% of babies were being born with basically burnt sex organs because their mothers were living in an environment that had either benzene or formaldehyde. And it wasn't just poor kids.
But this isn't a discussion about how people
become... Oh, sure it is, because kids are being born with all sorts of damaged sex organs. And when they're born, you can't tell if they might have multiple, they might have none. I mean, they're...
What percentage of the population is being born like this? Because I've heard of this breaking trend.
About 22% of the population in 1998 were born that way.
So it must be up to 80% by now then, huh?
we're born. Here we are, a little over 20 years later. These kids have gotten into high school. Now they're getting into college, and so.
But David, this is you're bringing up something that we just don't know in what way it might be related. But if it is related, it doesn't change the fact. If fully a quarter of the population is transgender, which is the implication of what you're saying, or by now maybe 40 or 50%, then all you would have to do is make transgender sports and the problem is solved. The question is one of societal fairness in dealing with kids in school playing sports, isn't it? Mike, can you clarify for David?
I don't even know what the heck he's talking about. So
well, he doesn't know. That's why I love to have him on, because he's a true leftist. That is, there are all these ideas bouncing around his head, and he can't rationally sort them out to posit a reasonable argument that other people could internalize and respond to. It's confusing. But this is how you can get to a conclusion, I guess, that somehow somebody who decides that they are, and I'm not saying they're not sincere, but what I'm saying is if you decide you're in the wrong body and you declare that publicly on April 1st, and on April 30th you want to run a competitive race, that suddenly you're a female and that you should run with the girls. How can anybody think that's rational policy? Regardless, even if David's thing is that all of the suppositions suggested in what he had to say came true.
Well, we can't even have like a conversation about it, apparently, without people just getting offended that it's even brought up, which to me is even worse of a problem.
Well, that's a good point. All right, it's Mikey Monday. That's Mike, my producer. We'll continue the conversation coming up after news on WTIC. WTIC. It's Mikey Monday. Producer Mike is here. We're talking about the transgender fight that's going on in the courts. It's now entered the courts in Connecticut. It's been going on for a year or two. That is, girls upset over having lost the opportunity to win as female runners and advance their athletic careers, their school athletic careers into college and all, because of transgender athletes coming in. It's nothing against the transgender athletes, I don't think, as Mike and I are seeing it. It's a fairness issue. There should be, well, the fairest thing would be for the transgender women to be competing against boys or to have a transgender female section. But to have them competing against girls as if they are biologically similar is ridiculous, it seems to me.
Well, it's proven out, too, if you just look at the results. I mean, the transgender girls that have been competing in the track meets in Connecticut have been dominating. They're breaking records. Like, it's not, I just don't understand how you can see all that and not be like,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, I think it's funny that you say that, because I believe that liberals are stuck on this one. They don't know what to do. They know what they've proposed is ridiculous.
Well, they just lash out at us for talking about it.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Well, I'm thinking about inside their own minds. They must realize they've backed themselves into a corner here, and what they're proposing makes no sense, and they're trying to figure out how to make that work. And I don't know that there's a way out of this without them having to admit that they're being anti-science, which isn't something they'd want to do. Mike calling from Farmington. Hi, Mike.
Hi, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I could.
Well, then, hey, I guess Todd, I can hear you.
Todd, I think the root cause of all this is a rejection of first principles.
And explain
basic
that.
The first principles are self-evident truths that cannot be denied unless you become an absolutely ridiculous person.
And which is that one in this?
Well, the difference between a male and a female, it's self-evident. You could see it. It's clear. It's scientifically true. It's also evidently true by observation. You know, I don't want to get too graphic, but realistically.
Well, there's no need to get graphic at all. You can look and you can know, and nobody's denying the truth that is self-evident.
I, Yes. This is exactly what the problem is because they're saying if you feel like you're something that you're not, that makes you what you are.
Well, yeah,
admit that.
No, you're right. I guess I misstated. But what I'm saying is nobody's denying that these are men a couple of weeks ago. And that fact, we know there's no way to stop becoming a man, stop being a man in a couple of weeks. There might be a way to create the equivalent, to turn the abilities of a man into those similar with a woman. And if that were done, then I guess it wouldn't be a problem, would it?
Yeah, but, you know, again, this is where men become so arrogant that they think they could change everything, except we can't change everything.
You mean humans?
Right? Well, not just humans, but we can't change physical laws.
We can alter the chemical state of a human being to make them equivalent in terms of musculature and things like that, so that it would be a fair fight. But
I put
those rules into effect. Make an attempt to be fair.
Okay, a first principle is a self-evident truth that is so evident that to argue against it would make you like an idiot. So, like a tree. A tree is...
No, we get it. We understand it's idiotic to suggest that it's
so
fair.
Now, in the rejection of the self-evident truths, the ramifications of this are becoming so problematic. A female is so disadvantaged because somebody is a male turns around and says, well, I'm a female because I feel like I'm a female.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the fun part of it, Mike. Thank you for the call. No, I think that states it, Mike, doesn't it?
I don't know. But, I mean, this... From what I've read, like they do have like a threshold or something as far as like you have to be X amount of weeks from receiving whatever hormone or something. Like they do have some sort of threshold, but I don't even think that really makes much of a difference. It's not even, to me at least, it's not even about you were a man a week ago and now you're running in a race. It's just, you know, you transition or whatever, that's fine, but you know, you have a different muscle mass if you're born a man, a different bone density, like just basic biological differences, which...
Yes, all I'm saying is there might be a way to... that after a certain number of months or years or what have you, under different hormones, that you could make it a fair match.
Yeah, but then again, what would that be? It's not like all women have the same strength and the, you know, it's...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out as a hypothetical. Maybe there's a way to say after you have down to 15% muscle compared to 25% or whatever those numbers are.
Yeah, I think what they do is just the level of testosterone. Like that's the threshold, I believe.
Yeah, but that would have an effect over time, wouldn't it?
So, I don't know.
So day one, having a certain amount of testosterone is not the same as having had it for 5 years. And that's a thing that you'd have to calculate. But we're getting too much in the weeds. You know, if you think about it in the other direction, would you say to girls, what would you call them, male transgenders, that is, women who become transgender males, that they have to compete against guys on the first day or the first 6 months or the first year or second year,
whatever? I don't know if that's happening. They're probably getting obliterated by the male competition.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's sexist to say, apparently, but I would bet that would happen.
But I think it's important to say, too, that this has nothing to do with feelings about transgenderism. Like,
no.
I believe everybody should pursue who they believe themselves to be. That's what a free society is all about. This is about making fair government rules to allow those people to become or maintain their proper integration in society. And there's a desire here to simply deny reality and to make it simple on the part of the left, which wants it to be simpler than it actually is for political reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's as simple as some people would want it to be. You know, I don't know about all the non-binary stuff. I mean, I'll just leave that for now.
Yeah, I think this is something
different. Well, I think, you know, we've talked about this a bunch of times about how things are, like, most everything is on a spectrum. And,
yes,
you know,
continuum.
Yeah, there's macho men, and then there's men that have a little more femininity in them, but it doesn't make them any less of a man. But like all this other stuff, we're talking about identity, and that's like all the stuff that to me is like confusing and muddies the waters, and it all has like political implications, which is just, that's gross to me.
Explain more what you mean.
Well, like the left is—it's all about how, the caller said, it's like how you feel. Like it's not biological or anything. It's just, well, I feel like a woman, so I want to be a woman now. Like,
yeah, but if for the sake of a liberty-based society, you would want everybody free to express themselves on that continuum however yeah. they wanted to express themselves. This is wanting the government to come in and defend somebody's right to do something, which is, it's questionable that they have that right. And to me, that's a different discussion than, you know, if there's a guy who wants to dress as a woman, well, that's fine in our society, isn't it?
Yeah, but then if you're not allowed to mention or... Like, are we just supposed to erase the fact that he wasn't a woman when he wasn't dressing as a woman? You know what I mean? Like, how does that work?
Well, so how do you apply it to the law? To me, the idea of suddenly putting an X or an S on a driver's license because they don't want to offend or they want to be inclusive, that's where you're stepping over a line, because now you're making bad policy to politicize, to gain political points with a certain element, with a certain subculture, and by doing something that's irrational and therefore destructive to the idea of maintaining an orderly society. I have a problem with that.
But can you imagine any good policy coming about anything related to what we're discussing?
Well, driver's license, yeah, if you're a biological man, it should be an M. And if you're a biological woman, it should be an F. And that should, you know.
What if you're something else?
Well, what is the something else?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely are biological cases of, like, hermaphrodites and stuff like that. But then it's like, is it just whatever they identify as? And then.
I think so, because the purpose of the identifier on the license is to help police know who they're dealing with. And to be able to look at them and identify them. Now, it may be we've reached a point, or we will reach a point, where everybody looks so different that it's no longer useful. But then the argument would be we should eliminate male and female because it's no longer productive.
Yeah. Well, there was a point in somebody called in, and you guys were talking about how, like, certain things are obvious. You know, you just... You know, look, and you can tell if it's
right.
male or female.
But yeah, that was Mike from Farmington.
I don't even know that that's the case. I mean, we were at the Elizabeth Warren rally a couple weeks ago, and there was a lot of people there that I couldn't tell just off visual glance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were Liz Warren voters, though.
Yeah. So what's on their what's on their ID? Is it an X?
I don't know.
They just have a bunch of X's?
At whatever point male and female don't work, then we will have to discard them, I suppose. But we haven't reached that point even vaguely yet, I don't think. I mean, there may be a fraction of a percent of the population who were collecting in unusually high percentages at the Liz Warren event. But that doesn't mean they yet need to be accommodated. Let's see who's on line four. Hi, you're on WTIC.
Yeah, good day. How are you guys doing?
Good.
And hey, this
shouldn't
is Dan,
answer
and
that.
I just wanted to kind of make a comment. You know, with this whole deal is, you know, if my son ever came to me and said that, you know, he thought he was transgender, wanted to live as a female, I would be like, I could accept that. But I think the thing I would tell him is you have to understand is, if you weren't born with a uterus, if you don't menstruate, which puts, you know, definite strains on a woman's body to try to compete during those times. I know a lot of high school athletes now, you know, daughters or friends who they have difficult times during that period. If you're not doing the same thing, then in all reality, you're not equal to to the women or girls who are competing, so you shouldn't be competing against them.
Yeah, I don't know to what level you need to micromanage that. I think there are some female athletes who stop having their periods because of the intensity of their competition. And, at some point that becomes personal, but it's an interesting point you're making nevertheless. Right, and that is that there are certain differences between men and women that you can't doctor for the sake of this argument.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
And there shouldn't be anything wrong with that or acknowledging that, right? I mean, that's what my whole thing. Like, well, what's the big deal of just bringing it up? It doesn't make you any less of a human, but, like, just to ignore...
Well, it's just an honest conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a hater.
You are. 860-522-9842. That's the voice of producer Mike. Because it's Mikey Monday, stay with us on WTIC. Yeah, it's WTIC. It's Monday. Mikey Monday. Producer Mike is here.
Yep.
Corey, hi, you're next. Sorry, Mike.
Thanks, Connor.
Yeah? What's up, Corey?
Fine, how are you?
Say hi to Mike as well. It's Mikey Monday. Come on.
Hello.
Corey!
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
That was Mike.
I appreciate it.
This is a great call.
he's having trouble hearing us, I think, though. Go ahead, Corey.
That's fine. Now, one of the things, I understand the transgender talk, but I have more important issues to discuss here. I've been listening for the testimony between Harford and what's going on here in the Senate Congress right now as we speak regarding the vaccine bill 5044. Mm-hmm. And speaking as a resident of the state of Connecticut, I have a vaccine injured daughter. And this bill is so preposterous to the point I can't say it enough. If I have to leave this state again in the droves of thousands that this particular Democrat and Senate controlled Congress in this state wants to add on top of tolls that they attempted to produce, I wanted to call in to say that this is the most important bill that's being discussed in this state, because we saw what happened in Massachusetts and over the past 2 weeks regarding the same type of bill that's being proposed on for legislation with our kids. It appears that the Dems in this state have not even listened to the 22 hours of testimony that took place. We took time, particularly me and my wife, took time for almost 22 hours from 10 o'clock in the morning almost till 6 o'clock the following morning last week to listen to all of the testimony that was produced to this Congress. And still to this minute, we have people here that are trying to basically tyrannically take over not only my life, but yours and your grandchildren.
Yeah, I think it's good that you brought it up in the context of this transgender discussion, because to me it's the same dynamic. You've got Democrats who are desperate to be playing identity politics at every step and to politicize issues that are fairly straightforward. The religious prerogatives of Americans are fairly straightforward going back to the founding. And the transgender issue is fairly straightforward. There's no reason that somebody who recently declares themselves a female should suddenly be viewed as one for purposes of competition. These are irrational policies or unfair ones or unconstitutional ones proposed for the purpose of pandering to certain demographic groups.
No, and I fully agree with you, Todd. And it's likening to the way that this policy has been performed, particularly in the New England states over the past, I'd say, decade. Is me growing up as I'm in my 30s. I saw this happen from 2004 up until now, and watching this transpire is bothering me, because I feel as a 33-year-old man now that this has been rammed down my throat, especially with the last administration federally, that I can't keep up with, and I don't know how families in the state of Connecticut can keep up with this. It's how these policies have transformed our education system in the state of Connecticut, policies within the state government, and on top of that, with laws that have been passed over the past and recent years. It's bothering me internally to the point where it has been pushed so fast and so collectively over these past few years to where we can't keep track of the certain individuals on the political level that have been strategically making this move forward. I'm saying personally, and including this is including my family and friends that are also listening not only to this show, but also currently live right now in Hartford at the LOB. We are leaving this state if this 5044 passes.
Okay, Corey, we got the point. Thank you for making the call. Mike, any reaction?
Well, to me, see, the whole vaccine thing, I don't even really think about the whole religion aspect of it. It's more
parental rights.
Yeah,
is that how you
more,
look at
yeah,
it?
I loop it back to what I said before about the transitioning of children and how they do it in Canada and how like they don't need parental consent and all that. And it's just taking control away from parents, which I think is just a dangerous road to go down.
Yeah, we know that parents have to be in charge because nobody else can be. And trying to put other people in charge is just dangerous and unfair.
And also, I don't think all vaccines are created equal. So to pretend that, like, oh, well, we need the measles one. Okay, well, is the measles vaccine the same as the HPV vaccine? I don't think so.